just to tell the Prime Minister, and I wrote to him, and I remember the excitement of receiving back a typed envelope, my first typed envelope, acknowledging my letter. And another, my only other memory really about suffrage was perhaps I was 11 or 12, and there was a procession, and I walked with Mother in the procession, because my mother, as well as Eva, was living interested in suffrage. Very proud, but rather embarrassed in case anybody at school saw me going along, processing it.
You think they might have actually sort of, you might have lost face at school if you processed, do you? I mean,
well, it was rather a conceited sort of thing to do, so that one was rather embarrassed. One might have been rather embarrassed. It wasn't discussed at school very much. It wasn't that I think those people would have been against it, whether they know who was or wasn't.
Just the
rather ostentatious thing to do.
Yes. But did you actually have a common cause in the house? I mean, you mentioned it, so you knew it quite well.
Oh, yes, we had a common cause in the house, and when I was a bit older, I would build some books for it.
Did you really? You really, I didn't realize that. Well, it became the memory,
yes. Things that were associated with it. I'm not said that wrong. I think I wrote an article for it once. Because Eva and I were always rather, when I was old enough, rather interested in each other's work. Eva was a person who had an enormous responsibility, too great a responsibility, for everything. If there was difficulties, I came across one child that was, we would call it now a better baby, but it wasn't as bad as that, but a youngish child that was, I was very worried about, that his mother, nice to the other children, had taken against that. And Eva immediately said, oh, can't you come and live with me? And another friend of ours who had stayed with Eva for a long time was E.G. Her first child died in childbirth, and she hadn't. Her mother, a friend's mother, wasn't over there, and Eva went and sort of lived with Parentis with her. And she always blamed herself and reverted to it again and again, why she hadn't asked the doctor to do a cesarean earlier. That sort of thing. She had this immense feeling of responsibility.
For individuals as well as political.
Oh, individuals as well as horses. But she also had a rather, for her, unfortunate quality of blaming herself if anything went wrong. I mentioned in that article about Morley. She'd arranged, it was being agreed, it was all apologies agreed to. say she was devoted to her children, but less, I mean, she wasn't a gushing mother by any means. She was very interested in taking the first story. I didn't know that very often told her about David when she took him to the interview at his first school. And the headmaster said, "We know what's David like." Eva said, "Oh, a very ordinary little boy." And the headmaster said, "That's the first mother who's ever had a very ordinary little boy." But that was the role of her. It was almost too much so, I think, with her children. That she adored her grandchildren, Tom, first of all, and then Andrea.
Oh, they had children, David.
Those are Diana's children.
I see, yes.
And she was fond of all, but particularly Tom and Andrea. And when she was in hospital, when she was dying, she had Andrea's picture by her side, the only picture she had. And I said, what a partial grandmother. But those two meant an awful lot to her.
That's interesting.
And the others did, but of course sometimes a daughter would have liked them.
Yes, and it's the first two.
So they had a lot to do, and they lived with her a good deal when Diana was changing houses too.
That's really most interesting. And there's a marvellous letter, which I do urge you to read if you get the chance, if you go and see Diana at all, which she wrote from St. Felix about, I think, first going there.
And she wasn't happy there.
Precisely. I mean, it's the most marvellous letter.
No, she was. You see, we were happy at home, and she was happy at her first school. And St. Felix, neither Eva or I had any religious feeling, but we were conscious of being Jewish, and she felt that there was, and had evidence, I can't remember what now, that it was rather anti-Semitic there. It was cold and impersonal. It wasn't the right sort of school for her at all. And she was at that time rather shy, it was a pity that she ever went there except intellectually. Then she was happy, directly she got to New York.
Yes, well, these letters are most excellent because, first of all, it's a most memorable account of what it's like arriving at a new school.
Yes.
You know, nobody talks to me, nobody tells me where to go, and I haven't got the right things,
yes.
You know, all that sort of thing, which one remembers
she,
very well.
She wasn't happy there at all, but she was very happy at Newnham, and then, of course, she was in that rather exciting generation, as you know, with Rupert Brooke, and she got fond of Bill very quickly. And
you can see that in the letter. Yes. It bursting with events.
Yes.
Interest.
Yes. So there, it was all very exciting. She had lovely holidays, these holidays in Switzerland with people. And for most of her main friends, Dorothy Layton and Amber and Sheena Simon, because she was very fond of Ernest Simon and introduced Ernest and Sheena to each other. Dated really from the Newnham days, and then after that, the suffrage ones, Eleanor Rathbone, for whom she had a great admiration, and Eleanor's friend, Betty Mac something, I can't
remember. Oh,
McCallum. Yeah. She was devoted to Betty too. That was the next generation of friends, but I think it was her Newnham friends that sort of lasted with her most all through her life.
Yes, that's certainly.
Her friends were awfully important. And yes, they are to any woman on her own, bringing up children. And she used to plan these holidays were awfully important to her, surprisingly important. She enjoyed being abroad, she enjoyed being to home, she enjoyed being to the lake, she was very energetic. And mostly with a friend, and often me taking along too.
Yes, I mean, what you're saying absolutely fits in with what other people have told me. I mean,
yes.
When you say friends were important to her, it wasn't just a sort of utilitarian thing, was it? It wasn't just that they were useful to her. She
no, not
psychological,
but emotionally
yes.
Important to have friends. And of course, she had other ones later on. I think, in a way, I wish she'd married again. And I think one of the things she felt was that perhaps she'd spent almost too much time with she seemed to me, this is perhaps relevant too, I think I quoted it somewhere, David was one when Bill was killed, and she said, oh, a lot of people have said to me, I said, we've got these three children, and she said to me, it would be infinitely worse if I hadn't had the three children.
She had
something to hang on to. And she had, of course, a lot of main friends too in the work that she did, but it was the other emphasis which would have been if she lived in this generation.
Well, why do you think it would have been good for her to marry in the sense that she had less worry, so to speak?
Less worry and a more fulfilled life. Mm. I mean, she had such a short marriage.
Yes.
And so many problems. But I think she had a very good life on the whole. In fact, she said to me, again, maybe quoted somewhere, when she was ill, when she was sent to a hospital just before she died, she said, I don't think it'd be a good thing if I died now until. And she definitely wanted to go on living. And, of course, she was an emotional person. She had very strong feelings. And on the whole, she was happy. I don't agree with Diana's book that she had a turn towards religion. I'm sure she didn't. I mean, at times she got big interest in the spiritualism. I once went to with her, but she had really no belief in it. And of course, that caused difficulty on the Jewish family. When she married Bill, there was a lot of unhappiness on the part of my parents. Mother told me of her engagement with tears running down her face. One rather funny story, or a nice story, I think. Herbert Samuel, who was Lord Eleven secretary at the time, and Eva were great friends. He's a first cousin of Trevor's, which was relevant to this story.
Yes.
And when she married Bill, Herbert's wife was again very against intermarriage, and they didn't see each other. And then, sometime afterwards, Eva and Herbert met at a party. And somebody said, oh, can I introduce Mrs. Hubbard to whom? And Herbert said, oh, I know Mrs. Hubbard. She's my first cousin. Once removed, now recovered.
That's a nice way of putting it. Yes. That really is most interesting. I mean, in a way, Newnham is an emancipation for her, or a great sort of broadening out of a basically Jewish background, isn't it? I mean, she's a bit stuck, isn't she?
Yes.
In a limited area. I mean,
in a way, it was broad artistic thing. mean, just by a chance remark of my own, she was England related to us, which is really rather amazing when you think of.
Interesting. I mean, it might well be the same genes coming right the way through.
Well, I think that the Spielman family were more intelligent than the Rafel family generally, and there are quite a lot of, aesthetically, your baggage being fully examined.
Yes, that's very interesting. But this practicality point that you mentioned is very interesting because, in a way, Eva is a very practical person. In a way, she's utterly unpractical.
Yes, I mean, she was untidy and
yes.
Terribly unpunctual. But in other ways, she got through this incredible amount of work.
I mean, in a way, she was practical about the important things.
Yes, quite, and not about. And you see, she wouldn't fuss at all, traveling or anything like that, where most of us, I fuss rather, but she wouldn't. I remember once we were in Sicily and we were going up towards Naples, traveling fairly hard, as we did, and in the middle of the night, well, perhaps it was three, we stopped at some place, the train stopped at some place she was interested in, and she said, oh, I want to see this place, and immediately got out of the train, and I just went on the laser. But she do that sort of thing on impulse.
That's on impulse, yes.
Completely on impulse, yes.
You are inquisitive, aren't you? But you said that very early on, when I first came in, that she was the most important influence on your life, or something like that.
Yes.
In what way did she influence you? Well, this broadening out, letting you get out of the
early environment.
Yes.
I think I absorbed a lot of her views. Well, a freer, less conventional life. I think I wouldn't have had it hadn't been freedom. It was so. It had, in a sense, our family was rather enclosed. Eva had, when she was about 17 or 18, a thing that was called a confession book. They had printed questions, among them, who's your favorite man, who's your favorite woman, and woman or nervous or
yeah.
And I remember then thinking what absurd questions everyone had put down for their favorite man, their father, and everyone had put down for their favorite woman, their mother. Well, it was sort of that sort of early environment, and Eva helped that, I would have come anyway, but rather earlier. Then she censored my reading. I liked some high school stories and things like that, but I didn't. Partly she gave me other books that were better, but I wouldn't let Eva see me reading Mrs. L.T. Meade, which was, that sort of thing.
What did she guide you on to then? What sort of things?
What were better children's books at that time, and lots of things I remember. When I was 17 or 18, I remember her giving me the Shropshire for Lad. I don't really remember now, but she did help me, I think, intellectually a lot.
Yes, yes. What about your career?
Well, she rather envied me my career, curiously enough. She said that, I remember her saying, I was at the National Institute of Industrial Psychology, and I started doing vocational guidance, and then did industrial consultancy, and she said, I remember her saying that people are so interested in the things you do, and they're often sort of more critical of the things that she did. And at one point, envied in the sense of it being at that time rather new and rather popular. Though, of course, her things were very much more, I mean, she had very much more influence than ever I did.
Because in a way, you're a specialist, an expert, aren't you?
Yes.
Whereas she was always in a sense.
Well, she was much more general and had much wider. And she saw a need for change in a way much more stronger than I have. Though I suppose even now some of the work I do is really partly her early influence. Her mother, as you'll see, both her parents were very interested in social problems. But
yes,
in an
the family in a Jewish
yes, in a narrow
world.
Sense.
Yes.
Perhaps especially father.
In a way, your family background is wider and narrower simultaneously.
Yes,
as you say,
yes,
cosmopolitan
yes,
and that sort of
yes,
thing.
Yes,
in
yes.
English society, it's
yes.
rather separated.
Yes,
groups still do less so now,
yes,
of course.
Yes, yes.
One thing I think somebody said, I think I don't know who it was, to me that she, in a sense, I think it was probably Rachel, she prepared the way for quite a lot of her cousins to break out
yes.
in the Jewish world as well.
Yes, as well as me.
Out. Yes.
A doorway full of ministers. And some Belgian cousins we had, too. Wieners. A lot of people came. I mean, they'd go to Eva if there was any.
His wife was that just because she'd set the pattern?
Well, partly because she was interested in people. Mm-hmm. I mean, the next time they had a problem or thought they were being restricted or that they didn't get on with their family or in the case of our Belgian cousins during the war and so on, it'd be Eva they'd go to for help. She was an obvious person who wanted help. Eva be wise and generous. Generous in time. And very generous in the thing that I'm much meaner about, in having people in her own house.
Yes, I'm not good about that. It's partly because of perhaps she doesn't care about her house as much as a lot of people.
Yes, I think it may have been there partly, but she had people living. She had a boy who from Germany who was to have Ipwich living with them for a time. She had a lot of people living for a time when they'd helped them.
You see, it doesn't, I mean, if one has this crude psychological notion, which a lot of people have, that very often reformers are people who rebel against their parents, that doesn't fit her at all, does it? Because she didn't rebel against her parents.
Not at all. She remained devoted to them. Mm-hmm. Especially Mother. Mm-hmm. But I remember, this is perhaps where I was sitting in their house, Mother died when she was 84, and she was still, she wasn't confused, as a good many other people are of that age, but she felt that she was getting it. And I quote in that book, she rather wanted to die. She said, can't get my youth back, given the gift of not living too long. But even I discussed, if Mother did get older, even Mother and I at that time were all on our own, all widows. And Eva said, if you mind, more going to live with Mother. We were both very fond.
Yes.
About any Mother, but I wouldn't particularly want them to live. And Eva felt the same, that she would have been willing to do it were I would have if it had been anybody else. But yes. I did more than she did. But that sort of generosity she had.
You see, this matter.
Yes, because right. I was much tidier, more orderly. And in a sense had a life that was more tightly planned.
Well, this is precisely my feeling. Yes. I mean, I'm a rather tidy person as well.
Yes.
The mess I've made in
your
room.
But, no, I think I can see.
But, I mean, and somehow that goes
with... In one's life, I rather like knowing that I'm doing this.
Yes, precisely.
This is why. Or whatever it is.
This is why it is a temperamental.
Yes, I think there is a fundamental difference. I once
wondering, really, whether you discussed your career in detail with Eva. I mean, about what you're going to do, whether she sort of really tried to guide you towards psychiatry or psychiatry.
No, because she didn't really know very much about it. And the idea was, her idea that I adopted, but that I do social work, and when I went to college, I was going to take a diploma in preparation then in hygiene, which I did. I could proudly say I'm qualified to be a sanitary inspector at the Metropolis.
Start
medicine.
Yes.
She wouldn't. She'd have been a good psychiatrist. She'd have been a bad doctor. She wouldn't have been orderly enough to be a doctor. But she would have been, I think, a very good, moderate level psychiatrist.
Just
she didn't think of that. It wasn't one of the things. But she was always terribly faithful. One of her great friends, Marjorie Olivia, they'd been mentally ill, actually, when she was staying with Eva. Eva was one of the few people that I think stayed with her and went to visit her and see her all her life. She wouldn't do that sort of thing very marvelously on anybody else.
And she found the time to do it. I mean.
Well, she had this incredibly elastic time. You see, she said badly. She worried herself. I mean, she wasn't always a happy person with the colon. She said badly and woke up very early. Made herself a cup of tea and then did an awful lot of work by 6 in the morning. She'd sleep at meetings. It was always really restful if you could name, even when she took the chair sometimes. It was very restful. Not too badly, but she did sometimes. But she didn't go to bed very early. And she didn't bother very much about food or about taking a lot of time off, though she'd dash off and do things. And she didn't worry about things that a lot of women would, or a lot of people would. And that's how she packed in this incredible amount into her life. She read, she always went about, probably some of them filled with a huge bag full of books, 3 or 4 books, wherever she was, and she'd read when she was waiting for a tube or anything. She didn't take herself seriously. There's a little story about her, really one of her signs she wasn't well. She was a top of wardrobe tube and coming up on the escalator and fainted on the escalator, and she was very short time. I mean, by the time the escalator reached the top, she recovered, but she had lost consciousness and fallen. And she said that she laughed at the concern of the ticket collector, the fact that she was a worse place to faint than on an on a tube escalator. And she laughed at herself, didn't take her own health seriously.
I mean, she also has this capacity, doesn't she, to start things off and then leave them to other people. That is,
yes.
She's a fertile.
And to delegate a great deal.
Yes.
I mean, all her secretaries, both her, well, had 3 secretaries, sensible.
Yeah. That's interesting. I mean, I feel in a way with her, no doubt other people have said this too, that there's a sort of basic harmony about her life, despite all this tremendous activity and so on. Her political skills are a reflection of her personality that applies also in domestic life and in her family and everything. There's
yes,
a sort of basic.
Was on it all fond of her, and she was all concerned. Rachel, I know that Rachel dealt with this, was in Coventry, she was as a manager at the time of the Coventry was on, and Eva immediately dashed off to Coventry, and very worried, just for the day, to sort of get in touch with Rachel. She had this immense caring quality, which was very important.
Yes.
In some ways, I had different views of age then, and she died when she was 63, and I consoled myself to some extent that she'd have hated to have got old, and I think she'd have had another many years of work. But I'm awfully glad that she hasn't grown to be very old, because she would have hated being dependent or
yes.
not having things to interest her,
yes.
being unpaid, all those
yes.
things.
Yes.
I think she would have found things, but...
Yes. One interesting thing that Jennifer Hart said about in a letter, which Diana showed me, was that she always had a zest for new ideas and
yes.
new things.
Yes, and she probably would still. I think she always thought, which was a fortunate thing for people of my mother's generation who said the same thing to me and Eva's, that the world was getting a better place. And I think she could be rather unhappy at quite a lot of things.
Well, yes, that rather leads to this, the depression that she seemed to have towards the end of her life. I mean, it seems to have gone on for 4 or 5 years. That she's
I think the depression, quite a lot of the people she was fond of had died. Charles Gray, whom she was
yes.
fond of, had died. And, but I don't think the depression, I think Diana overestimated the depression. I think she still had an awful lot of interest. She was happy about more. She was happy about the new extension of more. And I'm not even like the royal family very much.
Really?
Which you would have expected it didn't get in. And the fact that the Queen wanted to get which Queen would be very ill for Morley. And the fact even when she was ill that the Queen telephoned every day, or Queen Mary telephoned every day, that she drove with the Queen, one of her ambitions, through Hobble Arch, the open doors where the royal family go, and she enjoyed all that very much.
She
always felt sad, though I didn't think it would have meant very much to her, that she was never given any honour. It was
yes.
quite absurd that she was. But I didn't think Eva minded that. And she still, after all, the important thing in life is to be interesting and courageous, and she had both of those qualities to an extreme
yes.
degree.
She liked ceremonial. She liked events.
Yes. Yes, she did. Yes.
So that would fit in with the monarchy.
Yes, yes that would fit in with the monarchy.
Yes. But, yes. The one thing, how did she react to the whole business of the Jews in Germany and so on? I mean, that was towards the end of her life too, wasn't it?
She reacted as one presumed, thinking what she could do, but it didn't.
That isn't
I
So that, in every sense, props her up in a situation of great insecurity, but in great isolation.
Yes, yes. Except that I never think of Eva as an isolated person. It's the opposite. And if they were surrounded,
David said that when she went anywhere for any reason, she'd immediately find out which of her friends were in the area.
Yes.
And she'd combine.
And then, yeah, she combined them more than that. I mean, if I had a friendship in the States, for example, she'd immediately give lots of introductions, not only people she knew, but friends of friends. Well, one of them would be a nuisance. I mean, she didn't mind making a nuisance.
No, she wouldn't have minded herself. So.
Some people would be embarrassed. I'd be much meaner about following my friends with somebody who was coming, but she didn't mind that at all. And I found myself, my first job I did in Liverpool, I found myself staying with Eleanor Rathbone, which must have been a nuisance to have somebody much younger and doing a job there, working, I forget what else, on the British Gas or something. And but Eva immediately took it for granted that Eleanor wouldn't mind having me, and of course I was delighted. That sort of thing she did.
Do tell me about Eleanor, actually. I mean, she's a person, of course, also interests me. I mean, what
yes,
sort
well,
of person
was she?
Yes, well,
I didn't know about kind and severe.
Yes. Rather distant.
Very different. She Betty, as you know, Eva always said it was in the days when one didn't think lesbian labels, that it might be Italian,
yes.
And obviously it wouldn't be, but they were more like husband or wife. She was a rather masculine. Serious climbing, the sort of climbing, often with earnest. Simon. To learn it till she died. But as well as that, she liked the good food and that we had at mother's home and the luxury that we
had. So long as she didn't have to get the good food herself.
As long as she didn't. No, she wasn't the good cook. No, more than I am. And she nearly always had somebody, and he always had somebody working for her, even in Cornwall, Kate.
Somebody said that when there's a big family gathering in Cornwall or somewhere, she would dish out the food and she'd just be thinking about something else or talking about something and the portions would all be wrong.
I remember people turning up one day and we had a stew and she just emptied a whole lot of porridge into the stew to extend it from the 10 we were probably there to the 15 or 20. She didn't... housewife, but she was a marvellous hostess, that's the difference.
Yes, and she could get people to relax, and she do you think there's a deliberate exclusion of inessentials in her life? Do you think it's quite deliberate? Exclusion of inessentials, in a way. Do you think it's quite deliberate that she says to herself, right, exclusion of inessential things, as she would say. Is it quite a deliberate
thing? I don't think it was deliberate. I think it was necessary. Because of the sort of arrangement of time. But she did fill her day much fuller than most people, as we said before, because she wouldn't read an awful lot of novels, but she'd read poetry and write. And she had the capacity of knowing a lot, and the knowing a lot came from she'd read lots of papers, and she wouldn't bother very much to read the inessential parts or to leave the tiny and put through the mouth. The room almost looked nice. She had a lot of taste in furniture.
Yes. And she spent a lot on the house, didn't she?
She was very fond of the house. Houses, Cornish ones as well, Cornwall's were a three-raid. And she was sort of mildly interested in clothes, but not really interested in them. And it was very much to have her hair, only occasionally had her hair waved or anything like that.
So I think Diana says in her book that she could sometimes look marvellous if she could persuade her to take the trouble, but she rarely could.
She and I used to, this my story was, and I think it's true, to be annoyed at them. We looked in a curious way rather alike at that time. And she was annoyed because she was much better looking than me, and I was annoyed because I was 12 years younger than her. People quite often occasionally mistake us in buses and places. So we both were rather angry at it.
You say she was in a way radical for the family, that is, they were mostly rather conservative with the small c, perhaps with the capital C. Did that lead to disputes about politics? I'm clear it did lead to a dispute about marriage and so on.
Did
she argue in any...
Oh, more dispute. The rest of the family, it was only my parents who were unhappy about the marriage and a few uncles and people. But it didn't with my brothers and me. I'm not a very political creature, but my brothers were rather reactionary. And really, they weren't very close. They both felt responsibility and affection for each other, but their minds were absolutely different. When they were little, they used to quarrel rather a lot.
What I'm really getting at is, could Eva disagree with people about politics or whatever and enjoy the process of disagreement?
She wouldn't. She didn't enjoy it. It's a sort of one of the problems. She liked, as most of us do, people to like her and like her views. And most people did. She had probably... It was one of the few places where she did have problems, in a sense. But,
was she a tolerant person then, would you say?
Yes, I think that she was, more than most people. She was tolerant of many things. I'd say that she was tolerant.
It's very difficult, isn't it, if you feel very strongly that socialism is the best way of running society or something.
Yes.
It's very difficult to be tolerant of people who think just the opposite.
No, I think that she would. I mean, she would protect different views. I think that's one of the reasons for her success, her political success in the different movements in that she'd accept the fact that people had different views without being angry about it and would try and get over their objections.
Yes, that really does get on to the thing that I did want to ask you about. I mean, where does this very shrewd political sense come from? I mean, she's a very shrewd operator in politics, it seems to me.
Yes.
Where does it come from?
I don't know. I think my father's family a bit. I've mentioned Herbert Samuel before.
Yes.
But I think, really, she's rather a sport there.
Yes.
I don't think that any other... It certainly doesn't come from others. Some intelligent, some not. The father's family, most of their interests are artistic rather than political. Both sides of the family had bankers who were rather successful bankers.
Yes.
The political is sort of rather outside the sphere for any of us, I think. My brother, the brother who's here, was a very able managing director of German engineering company and built it up from 300 to 3,000 or something like that.
Yes.
But quite differently. I mean, Eva was much the most intelligent member of her family.
You
see, quite a different way. I don't know where it comes from.
Yes. Rachel said that she impressed on her children very much the importance of having a sense of proportion, which
she... Yes.
She didn't necessarily have herself in her own life, but she thought that was important.
Well, I think she did have, because she didn't fuss about things that so many people fuss about. And if something went wrong, she'd go on to the next thing. I think that she did have a sense of proportion. But I don't... Where she got her political agility from, I don't know.
Because it seems to me success in politics does consist partly of having a sense of proportion,
yes.
That is.
And not of being over sensitive either.
Yes.
Sensitive to other people's opinions, but not sensitive if you feel the measure against you is out there or limited or anything like that. And
yes.
I don't think she didn't worry terribly about that kind of thing. She worried about personal things, her personal responsibility if she hadn't done this. Well, but I don't think she worried about political reversals very much.
No. I mean, in a sense of proportion consists in being content with half measures.
Yes.
Second.
Yes, I think that's quite a good definition of it. Yes.
Yes. Yes. And that's why she's so very successful, I think, in the women's movement in the 20s, and of course in other movements.
And if one method failed, they trying another one.
Yes, precisely. And taking account of how you're going to be received, so to speak, by other people, that is, being sensitive to your audience and that sort
yes.
of thing.
Yes, yes.
So
I think she had the gift of being liked by everybody. I think you'll see in some of those letters, letters after she died, what an effect she had on people that everybody liked. I didn't know anybody who didn't like Eva.
Yes. Of course, another thing, which again I've got here from Rachel, is the thing about seeing opportunities.
Yes.
Which again is another constituent
yes.
of being
yes.
in politics, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And having a very quick mind, so that if this objection or that delay is, at least thinking quickly of some way of getting around it. And I think she was stimulated. I think she enjoyed very much an important meeting or influencing people in the House and
She's got her eye on the ball, really.
Yes.
The causes.
Yes.
Itself.
Yes.
One thing which, again, reverts to something you said pretty early on. Class. Which you're no doubt an expert.
Yes. Yes. she had, as all our generation did, a certain class consciousness. And most of her friends, I think almost all her friends, were the same sort of background as herself. But she did. Obviously, she wouldn't have any snobbishness or anything like that. But
she did have to be aware.
We belong to this curious. There's a little sort of. Take the Jewish community. We were. Brought up, how can I put it? We were very conscious of our position in it. It was a small. Big people. Big. Frog in a small pond. And we had the confidence that comes with being a big frog in a small pond. And I think that she was, she had not the least snobbery, but it did happen to most of her friends. And so on came from the same sort of background that she did.
Yes.
And I can't remember any great friends who came from a very different. She get on very well with people from a different background, but in point of fact, it was a more stratified community then.
In a way, class is irrelevant to minority groups in English society or American society, for that matter, isn't it? I mean, your main interest is in being Jewish. You don't care about being middle class or whatever.
I would say it, because we weren't interested in being Jewish. I mean, you know,
Adam
was believed in the religious side, and on the whole, I think it'd be a good thing if there wasn't a separate. I mean, I would like to see the community absorbed into the general community.
I entirely agree with that myself, but
yes.
Your upbringing must have been very consciously Jewish, wasn't it? It's just a question of breaking out of that so that initially...
Yes, but initially one had that, perhaps, but fairly soon, I think, both she and I broke out of that. That it did give us this assurance of being rather big fish. I mean... So that bigger fish than one would have been if one had been in the general community.
Yes, yes.
People knew our name or our parents or whatever it
yes,
was.
Yes.
And it's rather like living in a village, say, where the square of the village is fairly important to in a general community, the square would mean nothing, and it was rather like that with us.
So she's got not only the base of feeling that a lot of relatives will support and regard
yes.
And so on, but she's also got the base of the self-confidence of that section of
yes,
Jewish society.
Yes, yes. So that we're brought up with a lot of self-confidence, which I think is, I don't know if it's helped or hindered, it may be nasty, but people will win, but it's nice for us.
Yes, well, it gives you a serenity, I suppose.
Yes, I think it does.
Which
yes,
is very whatever
happens, yes, I think it was a thing that was good in our environment, but we weren't terribly often. Anyway, after one was about 10 or 12, one wasn't terribly Jewish conscious.
Yes.
We had this environment, this little group of people, many of whom lived near. And you see, we had this incredible sized family. I think it was over 200 first and second cousins. And so that we had a sort of terrific family background. We still know them. I mean, I still know them. Which is unusual.
Yes. Eva used to sort of join up with the family every Saturday, didn't she?
Friday, Friday.
see, that's what I want.
No, she didn't have that. And she had a, she didn't have an enormous sense of humor, really. Not as much as some other people in the family, as Rachel has, for example. Maybe she wasn't entertained by some, she was entertained by things, but she doesn't get to sleep at the hotel. That's often very surprising.
Where does she get this extraordinary consciousness of time from? I mean, I must say I got it as well.
This extraordinary
consciousness of time elapsing. I got it too.
Yes.
Why? I mean, that's been something one takes in with
well,
one's...
she in a sense hasn't a consciousness of time because she was unpunctual. She just was an economist of time rather than a consciousness.
Yes.
She had the opposite. She wouldn't know what time it was if she woke up, probably. But she would push in. You see, she'd always think that she could do more. She had an appointment at 10. And if it took half an hour to get there, and it's just possible if she just caught a bus that she could get there in 20 minutes, she'd leave quarter of an hour because she expect the bus to come. And they'd be rather surprised when it was 20 past when she arrived.
Yes.
She hadn't got a conscious, she'd got rather the opposite than a conscious.
Yes, these two things are quite reconcilable, aren't they? Because you want to get so much in your life.
Yes.
You want to do so much.
But she didn't think of herself as very unpunctual.
No.
Yeah, more than Rachel does.
No.
But we used to lunch together fairly often if we were working near each other. And I quite often have finished lunch before. I'm rather obsessively punctual. And I have quite often finished lunch before we even arrived.
But I mean, your point is that the journey on the bus would be a waste of time as far as Eva was concerned. It wouldn't be something she really wanted to do, and so she'd minimise the time.
No, she tried to get as much in before she had to.
So
she didn't want to be at this place at 10. Well, she'd go on working till 10 to 10.
Yes.
That meant she wouldn't get there at all, of course, or 24 hours.
Yes, yes, absolutely. But, I mean, it's a thing that, of course, is very familiar if one's interested in religion in the 19th century, evangelical consciousness of time passing, and that is...
Well, time passing, I think, meant knowing the... Not even to look at the clock. Well, you know,
yeah, I really mean the way of getting as much into your life as you
yes,
can.
Yes, in that sense, yes.
Seriously.
Though I don't think she thought much about dying or coming to the end. I don't think it had occurred to her that she was 63, that she had retired from Morley in 2 years. There were various other things she'd have liked to have done. I sometimes ask her about it. One was she'd have liked to run a school. She'd have liked to have read Pilney's. And she might, sometimes long before she died, long when she was still a poor, I said, what do you do when you retire? She said, well, I'd like to start a school. And we'd had, we'd be three ponies there as well. She liked horses.
Did she really?
Yes. Not that she was fond of or good at riding, but that was at one stage in her life, and very early on in the prevention, she was interested in schools and education.
Yes. Yes.
And she had a bit to do with Kurt Hahn, and
yes.
May have come across that and other.
She was on.
And she was on several committees, school committees. There was like a day school trust.
Oh, she was on that?
I think she was. She was on some of the schools. I have a friend who shares this house with me, was away at the moment, but she was on one of the schools, I think it's Strickham. There was like a day school trust. And she said that Saturday came, she had no idea it was my sister. But it was so eminently sensible that she was all impressed and then discovered afterwards that it was Eva.
That's interesting. In fact, she...
Of course, she did teach at Newnham for a short time.
She's presumably very devoted to Eton Newnham, of course, isn't she? Does she go back to old girls?
I mean, she was... I wouldn't say very devoted. She wasn't... Newnham didn't... It meant of course, I think that's especially for women an opportunity. I mean, I know most of my good friends in the same way. I didn't go to Cambridge, of course, I got to the war. I went to Bedfordshire in London. But many of my friends make from there.
Yes, well, I think one does make friends at that stage of one's life.
Yes,
in a way,
but
one
has some funds for making friends. Yes.
One person we haven't mentioned is her father. Was there a closer relationship?
Rachel remembers thinking to herself, oh, you're like other mothers.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. It's rather revealing that in
yes.
a way.
Yes.
There was no real direct feeling of deprivation on Rachel's part, but nonetheless,
yes.
she was a different sort of mother from other mothers.
Yes, right.
She was not involved in the detailed day-to-day practical things.
No, and of course she had more than Rachel coming home. A lot of people would be very worried about
yes.
it.
Well, Rachel did say, actually, at one time, that her mother said to her, you are all right, aren't you?
Yes.
As though she felt guilty a bit, at least.
Yes, I think she did a bit. Of course, she did have these long holidays with the children, organized the holidays more than most people, gave herself very much to them during the holidays.
Another man, of course, is... husband. And he's a rather shadowy, yes, he's a rather shadowy figure, I mean, in the biography.
Yes.
And you presumably met him.
I knew him quite well.
And, were they well suited to each other in a way? Were they like each other, do you think?
I think they were. I think Bill was on the further side of Eva from the family. And he was very informed. He's nice looking, very intelligent. He was his lecturer, classics lecturer, as you know. And came from the family bishop and all that, and she was friends with his family, much simpler. The same class family, but a simpler background. And I think he was a little abashed and sometimes rather mischievous with our family. I remember the first time he came with us, he had this very conventional family, and he arrived with his clothes in a cardboard box, just arrived with it. He was very fond. Of course, he joined the army when the children were so small that it was difficult to tell. He was fond of outdoor things. He was fond of climbing. He wrote, when I was very young, he wrote charming letters to Mary before they married and gave me a full description of all the children in his family. But he hadn't got of course it's difficult to tell when he was young whether he would have developed the political interest. He'd obviously been left in politics. I don't think he'd have had the reforming zeal that Eva would have had he lived.
Do you think in a way Eva was too serious sometimes?
I think perhaps she was too serious for her own happiness. I think she took responsibility for the world's sorrows.
Yes.
And for individual sorrows. I mean, the things, anything that went wrong with individuals, she knew, she'd immediately feel she ought to do something about it. She was so generous with sympathy that I think in some ways she was too serious for her own happiness.
Yes. Yes, I mean, that's very like Eleanor Rathbone, of course.
Yes. Well, she was she hadn't got the ponderousness that Eleanor had.
No. But I think Mary Stock said in her biography of Eleanor that whereas most people use their Christianity for consolation,
yes.
Eleanor's Christianity led to guilt and worry and
yes.
pushed her
go out. As I say, she wasn't very conscious, and I thought was rather nervous of missing trains and things. And she'd say, I must go and have a walk up to the cliffs. And we spent quite a lot of time. Rachel's a little bit the same. Rachel's the most none of it, not really like her. But in that way, Rachel's like her. And Ability David's like her. And in aesthetic pleasure, Anna's like her. But none of them are really very like her.
Yes, indeed, all of them are very fond of her.
All of them
are fond of her.
Very fond of her. And she meant an awful lot in their eyes. And she was very fond of them. But she was, in a sense, a bigger person than any of us.
Yes.
She
had a capacity for sweeping people off, didn't she, to
yes.
do things?
Yes, yes. Yes, she did.
Unworried by the fact she died early because she got more into her life than
yes,
most people would.
Yes, yes, oh, yes, right,
sort of thing.
Yes.
There's something in Diana's biography which says where she would, rather than miss a play, she'd go to one act rather than miss a play on stage.
Yes,
she'd
yes,
go
yes,
to one
and that's
act.
The same thing she had, which I admire, a greediness for life.
Yes.
Enjoyed.
Which, of course,
yes.
She had at Newnham as a teenager or as an undergraduate.
Yes, yes, she did a lot then, but I think all of us, the older she grew, and I don't agree with Diana that she was very depressed, but she was ill. There were occasions when she was, when people died she was fond of, and she regretted not having done this. And she was still exhilarated and looking forward to, and wanting to travel to do all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because she went to Malta, didn't she, in the Middle East. And the family got more.
They went to Persia, yes. Yes,
I did. She
did think that it was during the war. Oh, do you know that little leaflet she published during the war discussion groups? She was involved. Well, it was on organizing, I think it was for what it called EPCO, the education thing.
Oh,
and
yes.
She did publish quite a rather, I don't think I've got it anymore, but rather good little pamphlet or.
She was
involved in those sort of things too. I mean, whatever was on, if it was a war or if it was a disaster or if it was a family trouble, she did. She'd want to help.
Yes, because one of the interesting things about that generation, you were very interesting, you said that generation have a sense of responsibility for the world at large,
yes.
Which perhaps hasn't carried
yes.
on. I think there's a lot in that.
Yes.
I don't know why there is this change, but there is a change, I'm sure you're right. But another thing about Democrats in those days, that is in the interwar period, they were democratic in their daily habits somehow, as well as in
yes.
principle, if you see what I mean.
Yes, I do see what you mean, and in a sense, she was autocratic.
In the sense of getting people to do things.
Yes.
And saying.
Yes. Well, in the day when people didn't swear at all, if I interrupted her, which she didn't want to be interrupted, she'd just say, damn your bloody eyes, and I'd sort of slink off rather. You know what I mean? She wasn't always sweetness and light. Which
yes.
is, I mean, we were very fond of each other.
Yes.
Couldn't have been fonder of her.
It's because you're fond that she can say that.
But yes, but I mean, she wasn't always very gentle.
Yes, I really wanted to ask you about how she did her work. You say a lot of it was done in the mornings, of course, when they were
early
about.
In the morning, and then at this crammed desk, wherever she was, she had a crammed desk everywhere with none of her papers in order. But somehow she knew where they were, and she'd write on the beach or anywhere. She didn't mind about working in bars.